Join me in prayer, please. Lord, we thank you for your word and for the joy that it gives us, for its power. I just pray, Lord, as we open up your word this morning, that you would speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the first chapter of Romans. And as I mentioned last week, there are three stages of societal destruction. They can also be viewed as exchanges. The natural man exchanges the knowledge of what they have of God for sin. And last week we saw the first exchange, which was the exchange of the glorious image of God for idolatry. In Romans 1:18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed," and here's the exchange, "and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." Man changes the image of God into an idol. Now, idols are just a pathway for the natural man to get what he wants. We see this with the Hebrews in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1, it reads, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.'" Just as the Hebrews are a great example of molding an image, what they did with the gold calf is that they went back to Egypt, if you will, and they created an image that they were familiar with within Egyptian idolatry. And they created an image and they said, "This is going to be our God who goes before us. This will be our standard bearer." Well, what happens when people are idolatrous? As I mentioned last week, they have a distorted view of sex outside of the realm of biblical truth. Still stay in Exodus 32. If you get down to verse 5 and 6, it says, "So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it," referring to the calf, "and Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.' Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Now that phrase, "rose up to play," in the original language, refers to the sexual acts that accompanied idolatrous worship in paganism of the day. Idolatry creates a distorted view of sex. We saw that in our focal passage in Romans 1, back in verse 24. They gave up the image of God. They created an idolatrous image. And look at what Romans 1:24 says. "Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. A society built on idolatry, one of the signs is immoral sex. As I mentioned last week, our sign of societal idolatry is over 61 million unborn babies killed since Roe v. Wade. It's a sign that we are an idolatrous people. That's the first stage. The first sign that a society is marching towards the path of self-destruction. What's the second stage? Let's go back again to Romans 24. Therefore, God also gave them up, and a quick word there, gave them up is that He allows the judicial verdict to take place. He gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. This is the second exchange. First one's image. The next one is truth. Truth versus a lie. And worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. First exchange is the image. Second exchange is the truth of God for a lie. And when society denies the truth of God, homosexuality is the fruit of their sin. Let me say that again. When society denies the truth of God, homosexuality is the fruit of their sin. We see it all around us today. We live in a society that is growing increasingly comfortable with homosexuality. And I want to give you a little timeline, because I think in looking at the timeline, it will show you how rapid our society has entered into this societal decay. As we think back to World War II, homosexuals were not allowed to serve in the military. In the 1950s, Eisenhower banned homosexuals from any type of government employment. And then came the 60s sexual revolution. In 1960, San Francisco held their first lesbian convention. In 1962, Illinois was the first state to legalize homosexual relationships. In 1973, the American Psychiatric Association said homosexuality is not a psychiatric disorder. In 1975, the Civil Service Commission allowed homosexual employment. In 1982, Wisconsin establishes a first civil rights bill focused on homosexuality. In 1995, Bill Clinton allowed homosexuals to have security clearances within the government. In 1998, Tammy Baldwin becomes the first gay congresswoman elected to the House. In 2003, Gene Robinson, an openly gay man, is elected bishop within the Episcopal Church. In 2004, Massachusetts becomes the first state to legalize same-sex marriage. And this year, we have Mayor Pete running for president. Homosexuality is a sign that the society is in open and progressive decay. Now, people may say, well, gee, you're just picking on homosexuals. What I'm saying is that homosexuality points to the overall disease of society. Not just homosexuals. Homosexuality points to all of society in moral decay. And you notice you started seeing a move towards having more acceptance of homosexuals in the 1960s. And it's just gotten progressively worse. Well, it's no coincidence that in 1962, the Supreme Court ruled in the state of New York that students could not begin their day with a simple prayer. That's no coincidence. That from the 1960s, we have seen an open acceptance of different degrees within homosexuality, and it just so happens to coincide with a change in societal thought on prayer. And let me read you what this prayer was in 1962. Children said this prayer, Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon Thee, and we beg Thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. Amen. And the court had a problem with that. I'm always amazed when people say, well, the court didn't outlaw prayer, it just outlawed school-sponsored prayer. What we do collectively as a people says who we are. They outlawed prayer. Remember Madeline Murray O'Hare? She's best known for a lawsuit that challenged Bible reading in Baltimore public schools. The United States Supreme Court ruled that Bible reading in American public schools was unconstitutional. I could read a Bible as an individual, as a student, but to have school-sponsored Bible reading was unconstitutional. It's a sign. It's a sign. And as you look back, and if you're my age or older, it's not that we just have the same percent of population in our society that are more pronounced in their homosexuality. The homosexual community is growing. It's growing. There's more of them. And the reason why there is more of them is that they changed the truth of God for a lie. For a lie. That is so poignant with homosexual sin. Why is that? It's because it is an absolute affront to the Creator who created man and who created woman. And the biblical design is for man and woman to come together in union as husband and wife. And homosexual relations are an absolute lie to that truth. It is not natural. I remember I had a friend at one particular point that took on a very close friendship with a homosexual couple. And in fact, I believe his whole attitude was changed towards homosexuality. And knowing that I was a preacher, he thought he was going to have one of those aha moments. And I remember he told me, he said, well, you know, I believe they're born into it. And I got quite a surprised look when I said, well, I agree with you. And he said, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, we're all born sinners. We're all born sinners. And homosexuality isn't a psychiatric disorder. I agree with that in the 73 ruling. It is a sin. It is an absolute sin where man has changed the truth of God for a lie. Now, what is the truth of God? What's the truth of God? I mentioned this in Wednesday night Bible study. You get a verse that you read that hangs with you. And I've been reading this verse for the last several weeks. It's a verse that we're all familiar with, but it's one of those verses that has just stuck with me. I know that you've had verses like that where you'll read a verse and you just meditate on it. And it's John 8. John 8, 31, where Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." A group answered him in 33 and said, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Free indeed. You're no longer under the bondage of sin. And unfortunately, in our society today, as we become more accepting of the homosexual lifestyle, and as I used Mayor Pete in an example here several weeks ago, who claims Christianity. Christianity means freedom from habitual sin. That's the promise of Christ. If we abide in His Word, we are His disciples, and His truth shall set us free. If there's any sin that you're struggling with, the only way that you can find freedom this morning is through the Word and teachings of Jesus Christ. And there have been testimonies of homosexuals who have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and have come out of that lifestyle and have been freed from that bondage. And that is solely the power of Jesus Christ. And that freedom relates to any sin that we have. That if we abide in His Word, we shall be free. That's the truth. That's the truth of God. That's the truth of God for the homosexual. That's the truth of God for us as believers, is that we have freedom. It's the truth of God for the natural man who needs Jesus Christ, is that you can find freedom. You can lose the bondage of sin if you come to a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But it means abiding. Abiding in His Word, abiding in Christ. That's where the power comes from. Mayor Pete says that he's a believer, but he lives in an absolute immoral lifestyle. That doesn't jive with the Bible. Jesus said there will be many in that day who say, "Lord, Lord." And Jesus says, "Depart, I never knew you." See, if you abide, you know. If you abide, you know Jesus Christ. You walk with Jesus Christ. You know the words and the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what being a Christian is that we have an abiding nature with Jesus Christ. That we have a walk with Jesus Christ, a walk in His teachings. For those that live an immoral lifestyle, there is no relationship. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul wrote this in verse 9. He said, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And such were, notice that's past tense, such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You know, as I gave you that timeline of mainly government rulings on homosexuality, the one thing that I did not place is the timeline of denominational acceptance in some of the mainline denominations of the homosexual lifestyle. But it's across the board. The Methodists just got finished with their fight. And the sad thing about the Methodist fight is, if it had not been for African Methodism, their fight against homosexual acceptance within their church for the clergy would have been lost. Only the Africans saved the day. But we see it in a lot of mainline denominations. We see it in liberal Presbyterianism. We see it in some parts of the Lutheran denomination. We see it in the Episcopal denomination, of this acceptance of the homosexual lifestyle. And this says who we are as a society, and we as Bible-believing Christians have to take a stand. Used to, the battle was just in society apart from people who called themselves Christians. But unfortunately now, the battle is also within the church, within denominations. And we as believers have to stand up and say, this isn't part of Christianity. Fornication and homosexuality, you know, homosexuals always make the accusation that we're picking on just them. Sexual sin out of the confines of a married man and wife is sin. There's no other way to put it. It is sin. That's not my rule. That's God's rule. You got a problem with that? Take it up with Him. It is sin. And we as believers have to stand up and say, this is what we believe as a church. But there's good news. And the good news is that we have the truth. That you and I can abide in the Word of Christ, and the Word can set us free. And not only do we have that good news for us individually, but my friends, we can proclaim the good news too, can't we? We can proclaim the good news. Some people say, well, I'm scared to proclaim the good news. You know, the good news, I could offend somebody. Well, Christ is offensive. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is either the stumbling block or the cornerstone. There's no other way. There's only two choices. He's either your stumbling block or He's your cornerstone. And we have to stand up and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Bible also says that the law is the tutor that brings us to Christ. The law is the tutor. In other words, if you don't proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, no one is going to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And all of us pastors have a special judgment. And we're all going to have to stand in front of a holy and righteous God and give an account in how we have shepherded our churches. And there are pastors that have stood and unfortunately have not taken a stand. And they've not proclaimed the truth because they're worried about offending someone. The law is the tutor that brings us to Jesus Christ. People can't find truth unless the truth is proclaimed. And it's His truth. It's not a modified version of the truth. But the world has exchanged that truth for a lie, and that lie tells them that they can be accepted in any type of sin. As we see society move towards idolatry, can an apostate church create a false image of Jesus Christ? That's what you've got right now in some churches. Think about it. If I create an image of Jesus Christ that is accepting of any type of sexual sin, That is a false image of Jesus. That's a false image of God. You'll never see in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ where he changed the law of God to make someone feel more accepted. It does not exist. In fact, Jesus Christ said, "I have come to fulfill the law." That's the truth. As believers, you and I are salt and light. The church is salt and light. And if we want to change society, it's not going to come through politics. It's not going to come through acceptance. It's only going to come through the proclamation of the truth of Jesus Christ. Join me in prayer, please. Father, we just thank you so much for your truth, and we pray for our country as we see evidences of social decay and destruction. We see it in all forms of sexual lifestyles outside of the confines of marriage. I pray, Lord, that we would proclaim your truth, that we would be witnesses for you, that we would share the truth that frees men from the bondage of their sin. I pray, Lord, that we would stand boldly in your name and proclaim your name and your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.